Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text was 1 Corinthians 13, which has already been read, the famous chapter on love. Now, you know, we're not having a wedding today, which is generally the only time you hear 1 Corinthians 13, but we are focusing on this great, great section of the Bible. And by the way, they are great words to speak at a wedding, but they were not written for a couple tying the knot, but for a congregation that was tied in knots with all kinds of problems, including factions and lawsuits and immorality and worship difficulties and much more. And in the midst of talking about all these problems, St. Paul brings it to a focus and says, the most important thing is love. Last week, you heard here about some of the gifts of the Spirit. But you know, the people in Corinth were having problems because they were like ranking them, you know, this gift is better than that gift, and I've got this gift, and you don't have this gift, and all this kind of stuff. But Paul, in the midst of all that, says, I'm going to tell you the most important thing of all. And he says, it is love. So right in the center of talking about it, all this other stuff, he makes a point to speak of love as being the most excellent way and the greatest gift that God gives. Now, you guys get a little Greek lesson here this morning, okay? In Greek, there were three main words for love. There was the word eros, which was passionate love. There was the word philia, which was like friendship, brotherly love, like Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And then there was another word, agape. What's interesting is the word agape was rarely used in St. Paul's day. So he took that word for love and he infused it with a much deeper and more meaningful way of talking about love than any of the other words they used. And the love that Paul is speaking of, it is universal. It is love for everyone. Even famously, as Jesus said, love your enemies. So this is the kind of love that loves even if it's not getting love back. It's an unconditional, amazing kind of love, and Jesus is the best model of that kind of love. And love undergirds all of the gifts God's Spirit gives. So the city of Corinth may have had people who were leader, who had the gift of faith, who could speak in various tongues, who could prophesy. But St. Paul says, if they didn't have love, none of those gifts were important. And remember, we love because he first loved us. The love that he have is a gift of God's Holy Spirit making itself shown. So, I find it interesting that Paul's terminology in this whole chapter is comparable to climbing a mountain. So another translation of the first verse is, I will show you a better path up the mountain. And I like it because it's the higher gift. It's the most excellent gift, just like a mountain is high. And you know, in this text even says, Paul talks about a faith that moves mountains and not falling off the mountain. So Paul is using some very complex imagery to say, climb this mountain with me, the mountain of love. Now, I don't know if you've done much mountain climbing in your lives. Once my wife and I climbed what's called a 14er. Anybody know what a 14er is? It is a mountain that's over 14,000 feet high. And Colorado has a bunch of these. So anyway, we climbed Mount Bierstadt. Oh, my word, that was hard work. We were breathless. But you know what? When we got to the top, when you're on top of the mountain, guess what? There's nothing blocking your view. You're above everything else. It was exhilarating. It was exhilarating to have made the climb and to gotten there and to see the view. So I think St. Paul is trying to tell us love is like that. Sometimes it's arduous. Sometimes it's a climb. But he wants us to be there at the pinnacle. Love, the most excellent way, so that we can love others. And for St. Paul, that was the greatest of all the gifts God gives. Now, he begins this chapter by saying, you know, you may have the gift to speak in all kinds of tongues, men and of angels. If you don't have love, you know, you may have this or that. But then he says, if I'm talking like that and don't have any love, I am like a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. I want you to know the people of Corinth knew exactly what St. Paul was talking about. They had brass works there. There were hundreds of little shops where they would be banging on metal to form it into bowls or jewelry or whatever they formed it into. I read a recent account about a man who was going to a place like that that had that kind of brass works. He said from a half mile away, you could hear the racket coming from all these people banging on all these pieces of metal. So Paul was saying, I may be speaking wonderfully, but if I don't have love, it's like that racket. It's like that cacophony, because without love, my words and everything else would be empty. I think, to go on with this first part, Paul says, even if I gave my body and everything else away so that I could boast before God, but he said, if I don't have love, that is nothing. Then Paul begins to talk about love more positively. He says love is patient. And that's the word that combines two thoughts, anger and far away. So patience means putting your anger far away, not getting mad about this situation, but making that go away. It's interesting, the Hebrew word for being slow to anger, which God is, believe it or not, long of nostrils. What's that all about? All I can say is this, when you get mad, your nostrils flare and you're ready to pounce or whatever, and God is not like that. His nostrils are long. He is patient. He doesn't get angry quickly. So love is patient. And, you know, people in power sometimes use that. You know, they're not patient. They use their anger and other things to manipulate and others. I'm just very interested that you guys, I don't know if you're any historians, but Abraham Lincoln, when he was president and the Civil War was winding up, there were people who said to him, you really need to punish those people in the South for what they did. And his second inaugural address, Lincoln says, with malice toward none and charity to all. Lincoln wanted to practice love, to give charity to everyone and not show malice to people. And I think, I don't know if Lincoln read 1 Corinthians 13, but I'm guessing he did. And he knew that love is patient and love is kind. Then Paul goes on to describe what love isn't. He says, love doesn't envy. And you know, that's a big deal in our world today. We are very envious, I think, of people and their stuff. And by the way, the whole advertising world and all the algorithms on your computer are designed to get you to be envious and for you to want stuff. And we know our commandments. Do not covet. You know, we are not to want something that is not ours. But Paul says love doesn't envy. And I think he says that because envy can end up in resentment against others. And when we seek more than God has given to us, that's not love. And then he says, love does not boast. I think he's not only talking about bragging about ourselves, you know, and our achievements and how great we are and our company or our family or whatever like that. I think he's also, sometimes we boast about others to flatter them and influence them to do what we want them to do. Oh, you're so great. I think St. Paul is telling us that love is a straight shooter. I understand who I am in Christ and who others are. Then he says, love is not proud or arrogant or puffed up. You know, we who follow Jesus have an identity that is ours in baptism. We are secure. So we don't need to be proud or arrogant or boastful, feel like we're better than others to be exalted. And, you know, I see that often. Sometimes people put others down to try to make themselves feel better. You know what? We've already got the greatest gift in God saying, you're my son, you're my daughter, I love you. That's identity enough for us. Love, St. Paul says, is not rude. And I don't know, I see some rudeness in our world today. Maybe minor things or pet peeves, you know, somebody talking on their phone too loudly or cutting somebody off in traffic or whatever else like that. I think Paul is saying that love isn't that way. We aren't rude to anybody, anytime. And I think for us, we just need to ask the question, is this showing love or not? Love is not self-seeking. Selfishness is not a part of love. If you expect to pay back, it's not love. It's quid pro quo. Love is not easily angered, which goes along with being patient. And then, love keeps no record of wrongs. That is the word that St. Paul draws from the accounting world. And many relationship falters on this kind of love. You know, I don't know how many couples I have done premarital counseling with before they've gotten married, but I have often said to them, take this verse to heart. Love keeps no record of wrong. Don't say, you did this to me, and it was 20 years ago that they did it to you, but you're not going to forget about that. You know, and St. Paul says, love doesn't keep a ledger sheet of what the other person has done wrong. It doesn't nurse grudges. It lets go. Now, I bring this up with a realization that there are some deep hurts that we can't forget, but we can still forgive and let go of. In the church I served for many years, there was a woman, she was a shut-in, and she always told me, Pastor, I just can't forget this thing that happened. And by the way, it was a huge thing that happened. Her granddaughter murdered her daughter and son-in-law. And I remember telling her, you're not going to forget that. Because she was worried that she had to forgive and forget. And I said, you know, you're not going to forget that. But you don't have to stack it up on a ledger sheet. You can let go and forgive. And by the grace of God, she was able to do that. So there are some things that are hard to forget. But I think love enables us to forgive and let go. We don't have to keep replaying it over and over. We let it go. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Sometimes I think our world rejoices in evil too much. Did you know that Christians in the centuries around the Roman Empire, they never went to gladiatorial games. For them, that was too much violence and too much evil and too much torture and senseless gore, so they stayed away. I don't know if there's a causal link between looking at violence and being violent, but in my mind, St. Paul is telling us, don't rejoice in what is evil. And, you know, I think there are a lot of times we're able to do that today, things we have seen. So love does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices in the truth. And that truth, protecting others, and especially the weak, is what love is. So we trust in God, we bear all things, we have hope, and perseverance, keeping on, are also reflections of love. And at the end of this chapter, Paul circles back to those spiritual gifts again. He says, tongues, knowledge, prophecy, eventually, all of that is going away. Just like my childish thoughts. When I was a child, I thought like a child, reasoned like a child, spoke like a child. I put all those things away. And he still says, there's a mystery. We see God some now, but you know what? He says we see him in a glass darkly. You know, a poor reflection. But there will come a day when faith will turn to sight, and we will see Jesus face to face, and all those questions and things that we worried about, they won't be there anymore. And even hope will end. All our hopes will have come true when we see Jesus face to face. But even at the end, there will still be love. So St. Paul says, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love shown for us in Jesus on the cross. Love that lasts. And love that we pour out into the lives of others. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.